Welcome back. 519, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. Andy Parks live from the Washington Times. And I'm joined now by Ben Wolfgang, Washington Times national reporter. He is in Newtown, Connecticut. Evening, Ben.
How are you, Andy?
I'm fine. More funerals today, I gather?
More funerals today, yes. It's just been a pretty chilling and frankly depressing scene up here for the past couple of days. And sadly to say, it's not really going to get any better in the near future, because, of course, you have 20 young victims and then, of course, six adults who were killed at Sandy Hook Elementary School on Friday. So they've only just begun to have these funeral services. There were three yesterday, including two of the young victims, and then two more today. So this is a ritual that's going to continue throughout the rest of this week and into next week. It's going to be a long and difficult mourning process for the people.
Yeah, more personal stories coming out, too, just heartbreaking stuff.
Oh, absolutely. And, of course, that today is against the backdrop of children, with the exception of those at Sandy Hook, of course, returning to school. And some of the most poignant moments that I had since I've been up here, we're talking to parents today who struggled with, you know, do I send my kid back to school today? It's really an incredibly difficult decision for them, and a lot of them were very honest in talking to me. I had one gentleman who has two children, ages 12 and 13, said, I don't know if they're going to come home. And, you know, he never thought that he would have to worry about something like that, particularly in such a, what was a pretty safe neighborhood here in Newtown, Connecticut. But he kept them home today, even though their school reopened this morning. He said they're not going back. They might go back later this week. He might keep them home, you know, until next week or who knows. So it's in addition to the funerals and the tragic personal stories you're hearing about, you have parents that are having to make what has become a very difficult choice for them.
All right, now let's talk about the security issue. I can only imagine there was heightened security, probably cops at every school.
There were cops at every school. Yeah, you can drive through Newtown and also through the surrounding area, and you'll see local police, state police are all over the place. I saw a couple of police cars from the University of Connecticut and from surrounding towns. So there are law enforcement agencies, not just from Newtown and not just the state police, but virtually it seems like every law enforcement agency within a 50-mile radius is helping out in some way here in Newtown this week. And you're right, the entrances and exits to every school, at least all the ones that I saw, were guarded by uniformed officers. You know, there's been heightened security all over the place, not even just at schools. So there's a very visible police presence. Not sure how that's going to last. You would imagine that couldn't last, you know, for the rest of the school year, but at least for the next couple of days, maybe the next couple of weeks, I think police officers are going to be a fixture at schools all over the place.
Yeah. I'm curious, because the issue of gun control is rippling across America right now. I'm wondering if the folks there are starting to deal with that side of it.
Well, you know, it's interesting, because yesterday we talked about this, and I said that a lot of the people up here don't really seem ready to talk about that. Well, a mere 24 hours later, frankly, that's begun to change a little bit. You had the launch today, or I guess it was maybe yesterday or Sunday, but a group called Newtown United, basically a group of townspeople that are concerned about gun violence, concerned about gun control issues, and some of them were down in Washington, D.C. today, meeting with the Brady campaign, the gun control lobby down there in D.C. And a lot of folks that I talked to today, frankly, seem more open to talk about that than they were yesterday. They're talking about gun control, talking about how to prevent this from happening in the future, and also talking about the more complicated issue of mental health,
mm-hmm.
and how folks like Adam Lanza, how to get to them before they commit acts like this. So, you know, just 4 or 5 days later, people are starting to talk about those big picture issues, and I would expect that that's only going to increase as we move forward.
Interesting story about a gun shop just 10 minutes down the road from there. The owner said gun sales have gone through the roof since Friday. In fact, he may have set a record yesterday, as many gun stores did across the nation. That is very strange. I can assume that there are a couple of reasons you would buy a gun. One, for protection,
right,
obviously. But the other could be that maybe the fear of stricter gun laws being on the way may prohibit people from ever getting a gun.
Yeah, it's really interesting, isn't it? Because you have on one hand a lot of folks increasingly talking about gun control and trying to limit the access, particularly to assault weapons like the one that was used by Adam Lanza. But then you put that, sort of juxtapose that with what you just said, that his gun sales are up, not just here in Connecticut, but frankly all over the place. And it's, even if you're a parent and you are concerned and maybe you support gun control measures, I guess you can't really blame somebody after seeing what we saw on Friday. Maybe they think, I need more protection for my family. So those two, I guess, sides of this issue kind of balancing out is really quite fascinating, as you pointed out.
Mm-hmm. You touched on the mental health issues. I can only assume that those in this administration and lawmakers on Capitol Hill will definitely tackle that at some point. But, you know, it was funny, a little while ago, funny in a strange way, that Stephen Dynan and I were talking about the effect on, you know, lawmakers when it comes to an incident. Incident like this, is that a lot of times there's a great deal of talk, but nothing ever happens. In fact, Harry Reid said that he wants to bring it to the floor of the Senate. He said to have meaningful conversation and thoughtful debate, but it didn't appear there was an end game.
Right, right, and of course, you know, the furor, I guess you could say, or the passion to do something. Is always strongest in the days after an incident. And we've seen this in the past, whether it's after Columbine or after Virginia Tech or even after Aurora, Colorado. This kind of bubbles to the surface and picks up a lot of steam for a few days and then eventually dies off because, as President Obama and others have said, the politics of this are really tough. Now, the gun control part of this equation is probably a little bit simpler. I mean, it's fairly easy to understand gun control measures, assault weapons bans, things of that nature. But when you start talking about mental health and how to deal with people and help people like Adam Lanza before they commit violent acts like this, you know, lawmakers can take it up, the White House can take it up and try and do something about it. But experts that I've talked to today are pretty blunt in saying, you know, what exactly can they do about it? I mean, it's not just a matter of funneling more money into research or funneling more money into counseling or psychologist services or anything like that. This is a really complex issue, and folks that I've talked to today in the mental health field, in the psychology field, say that, frankly, we just don't entirely understand understand the mental state of somebody like an Adam Lanza. So, you know, lawmakers surely are going to tackle this, and they probably should, but what exactly they can do about it beyond just paying lip service to the issue really remains to be seen.
Yeah. And back to the actual gun control, it are all indications that the current laws worked. This kid tried to buy a gun, couldn't get one. And if you look at it, I guess, in a technical fashion, he stole the guns from his mother after killing her.
That's right. That's right. His mother, of course, had the, you know, licenses and went and got the guns through the proper channels.
Yeah.
He couldn't get them when he tried to get them recently. So,
yeah.
The gun laws here in Connecticut and the gun laws nationwide, you know, as you pointed out, you could say they worked in this case, and it kind of goes back to that old saying that when you outlaw guns, only outlaws have guns.
That's right.
So,
yeah.
You know, is that really the issue here? So you can understand sort of knee-jerk reaction, I guess, for lack of a better term, of why this issue would bubble to the surface right now, but can you be assured that if you had stronger gun laws, there wouldn't be another massacre like this? I don't think you can be.
No, I don't think you ever, you know, you're never going to stop this entirely. And that's been in existence long before there were guns, you know.
Right. Nobody wants to admit that, and it's kind of painful to say, but I think that's the sad truth, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah. One final thing. Still a large press presence there, I'm assuming, and I guess that the town really won't get back to normal until some of you folks start leaving.
That's true. I've actually been pleasantly surprised with how open the folks are to talk here. I mean, I've probably 9 out of 10 or maybe more folks that I've approached have been willing to talk.
Mm-hmm.
There, of course, are a few, particularly families of the victims, you know, that aren't willing to talk at this point, most of them anyway, and you can certainly appreciate that. But the people here seem to be willing to talk to the press and willing to share their stories and really kind of lay bare their emotions about what they're going through and how they're grieving after this loss. But as far as the media horde that's here, I've never seen anything quite like it. I can only imagine what the people here in Newtown think when they get up every morning and walk or drive through the small downtown, and you literally have every press agency from the United States and, frankly, others. I've talked to other media members from London and from Asia and from other parts of Europe and all over the place that are here. So it's really amazing, and it hasn't shown any signs of letting up so far. So it's going to be tough for folks to get back to their normal routine, their normal day-to-day way of life until, you know, as you put it, folks like me get out of town.
Yep. All right, Ben, as always, thank you for joining me. Appreciate the update.
Thanks, Andy.
Take care. Ben Wolfgang, Washington Times national reporter, calling from Newtown, Connecticut. It is 529.